Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not walking, I feel a cleansing.
Is somebody on mute?
Hello, Pam, I'm here. Hello, Pam.
Yes,
I'm here,
greetings.
Darling. Greetings to you.
And what about... Yes,
I don't.
Yes, and how about our master of the night, Tiana?
Well, maybe he's having a last quaff of claret before he joins us. I don't know. If you're there, Ark, come through, dear. Can you hear us? Okay.
Well,
okay.
Well, he's obviously having technical problems, so while we wait for him, you go ahead and introduce the show.
Okay. So... this was his spot, but never mind, I'll help him out. Okay, so welcome everybody to Delving the Depths of Darkness again with Arcana Amor and myself, Selena, and the beautiful Pam, of course, there. And tonight's show is based on our contest of Samhain, which is, of course, as many of you know, the traditional Celtic Halloween. And we have a great lineup of poetry, Pam, tonight. I think we've got really about 16 contests. And okay, is he back, Ark? I can't hear anyone. Hello, Pam. Is he back?
He is back, but still having
technical
issues.
Okay, so. Okay, so, okay, Pam, so have we got any creepy crawly people calling in tonight? Creepy crawlers? Creepy crawlers?
Not yet.
Okay.
As soon as we do, I'll let you know.
Okie dokie, right, so let's, I'm going to have to find everything because, as I said, this was Ark spot, so... I'll just get the things up and we can start going, I think, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to put the first poem up, and this one is by Bookworm Dave, and it's called Bury the Wounded Heart. Okay, let's get back to the board. Oh, dear. It's really Halloween, isn't it, Pam? All the gremlins are out tonight. Okay, so there we go. Would you like to read it for us, Pam, and start us off?
Absolutely. Actually, why don't you go ahead and read this one in case I have to handle some phone things in
okay.
this next few minutes? So
yeah,
you go ahead
course.
And read
it. Okay, well, thank you. Okay, I will do. Right, so this one is called Bury the Wounded Heart, and it's by the lovely poet Bookworm Dave, 227. Fog rolled in at the graveyard. Sounds of Bach played in the church. Sound of the Psalms, hope for heaven. Stillness enveloped the graves. Spirits asleep rose. Rising to the rewards or banishment. Seeing the mist questioning my sanity. We both did. Should we not be in church, not walking among the dead? As the sounds of disturbed graves creaking open, smelling the open soil, decay and fallen spirits. No cross of gold will save the wanderers. Choirs of demons and angels sing to their host. As the sounds of the damned shriek, this fog-filled night, wolves, thought to be the children of the night, howl. Cats meow, telling us they too are present. In the distance, fires from the coven of witches. Now we recall, Happy Halloween, or... Should we say, beware of Halloween, with the demons running amok? Good took a holiday, as evil tormented. End poem. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can finally hear someone.
I know.
As Pam was just saying,
the Halloween gremlins have struck.
Yes, I can't find Pam either. Are you there, Pam? They've taken
well,
her.
Well, Selena, but I had told you to read and comment.
You already read
and comment? Oh, okay.
No, I read. I didn't comment.
Okay.
Anyway, shall I read?
Well, go on.
Okay, shall we start afresh, everybody, or what do you want to do?
Greetings, dark denizens. Only 6 days and counting to go to my favourite time of year. Since Halloween falls between weeks for our scheduled shows this year, LNP just couldn't possibly deny and deprive you from doing an extra spot of delving to put you all in the mood. With me tonight, we have two mistresses joining me. Mistress of the Macabre, Stelina, and our Mistress of Mayhem, Pam. How are we, Stelina and Pam? Are you both in the mood to delve into the darkness?
I am always in the mood, as you know me.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we've got off to a shaky start. So let me just say to anybody who's listening, the topic for our show is Samhain, pronounced Samhain. Samhain is a Gaelic festival on the 1st of November, marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, or darker half of the year. It is one of the most important and sinister calendar festivals of the year. Also, the Irish language name for November. Celebrations begin on the evening of 31st of October, since the Celtic day began and ended at sunset. At Samhain, or Samhain, the world of the gods was believed to be made visible to humankind, and the gods played many tricks on their mortal worshippers. It was a time fraught with danger, charged with fear, and full of supernatural events. Okay. Now, without further ado, I take it that you've just read Bookworm Dave's piece, have you, for us, Stelina?
Well, I did, but I don't think anyone heard it.
Well, you know what? I have read it before.
Yeah.
So I am in a position to comment on this.
Okay.
I'm sure you gave it a excellent read, because you always do.
Tried my best, love.
I'm sure you did. So what I'll do is I'll open the comments up on Dave's piece. So I thought that Dave had given us an excellent piece here. It's well contrived, well written. I enjoyed the way he sets the scene with some wonderful imagery. Fog rolled in at the graveyard. Sounds of Bach played in the church. Sounds of the Psalms. Hope for heaven. Stillness enveloped the graves. Spirits asleep rose, rising for the rewards of banishment. I also like the way this piece focuses on the thinning of the veil between the physical world and the spirit realm with, as the sounds of disturbed graves creaking open, smelling the open soil, decay and fallen spirits. No cross of gold will save the wanderers. Choirs of demons and angels sing to their host. Great lines that create a haunting mental picture of the dead arising from their graves to roam among us for Halloween. An inspired rite by Bookworm Dave. And what did you think to this one, Stelina?
Yes, well, you sort of took the words out of my mouth, as you usually do. But yeah, I totally agree. The opening was so atmospheric of Halloween, you know. And as you read, I'm not going to read it all again, obviously, but fog rolled into the graveyard and the sounds of Bach played in the church. You can just imagine some demonic figure in the church, you know, with Bach's fugue and the fog and the mist all around him, and the graves opening. So he did a really good job of telling the story and setting the scene, as Dave usually does, you know. But his choice of words, his lines were excellent. The imagery he gave us was so creepy and wonderful, of course, for a dark poem. So I thought it was an excellent piece, and I thought it was very well done by Dave. So thank you very much, Dave, for this entry. It was great.
Yeah, great comment there, Stelina. And Pam, was you able to catch enough of this to be able to comment on it?
Well, you know, this actually, I had read and commented on all the contest entries earlier today, so thankfully. But I really like how with this one, Dave immediately sets the atmosphere with his opening lines. Fog rolled in at the graveyard. Sounds of Bach played in the church. You know, wonderful lines there. And I also like how he put a lot of thought into his write, and he writes on the rising up of good and evil, and where he says, no cross of gold will save the wanderers, choirs of demons and angels sing to their host. It makes you think about the whole idea of how there are things of other realms going on around us. You know, and as Selena had mentioned, the thinning of the veil and those, that music and those battles that go on around us in those spiritual principalities. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. I think we all picked up on that opening stanza, you know, the way that he set the tone with those opening lines and bringing Bach into it. It was inspired. Great piece there, Dave. Okay, up next, we have a piece by Jenny the Deep called Boiling in Hell on Samhain or Samhain. And Pam, would you like to give that one a read for us?
All right. Now, can you tell me how, I'm sorry to ask, but can you tell me how do you pronounce, is it Samhain?
Samhain is the correct pronunciation, that's correct. But, you know, for the purpose of this show, you can call it whatever you like, because we all know, really, we're talking about Halloween.
All right, well, I will try my best to say Samhain, but if my redneck Wisconsin self starts saying, you know, Samhain, you can forgive me.
Go for it, Pam.
All right. This is Boiling in Hell with on Samhain by Jenny the Deep. Confusion cascading, causing calamity, diving deeper into the depths of insanity, pushing me further away from reality, falling into an abyss. I'm shouting obscenities, reaching the fiery pits to darkness I fell, disguising my fear terrifyingly well. Blending in with the demons of my own hell, crackling and heckling, we dance and yell. Hell's coven gathers round a burning flame as a seance announced is my name. A blood sacrifice is to be made as these cretins of hell choose me to be slayed, looking up at me with a devilish crimson grin. Trouble toils as boiling bubbles begin. A gruesome fate given from the forsaken as demonic witches slice and melt off my skin. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. And Stelina, what did you make of this?
Oh, well, first of all, that was a wonderful read, Pam. And this is a great poem. I mean, the title itself is already getting us started, isn't it? Boiling in Hell. On Samhain. Yeah, I mean, Irish spelling has nothing to do with the pronunciation, does it? At all,
not
ever.
Really.
Yeah, I thought it was a great start because she gave us two lines of really great alliteration. Confusion cascading, causing calamity, diving deeper into the depths of insanity. So, you know, those sounds, the k and the d, they already give us like sort of a harsh note. The rhyming of the couplets is wonderfully done as well. So she did very well with that. Calamity, insanity, reality, obscenities. So she did the whole stanza to rhyme, more or less. And then she goes into a little bit of near rhyme in the third one, which is great too. I like to see that. So apart from that, she created some great Halloween imagery. With the picture, it goes great with the picture. I especially liked the second stanza. Reaching the fiery pit, to darkness I fell, disguising my fear terrifyingly well, blending in with the demons of my own hell. Crackling and heckling, we dance and yell. She touched a little bit there, I think, not just on you know, the fantasy of Halloween and our sort of images of hell and what it's like, but she also speaks about a little bit of her own hell, you know, so making us realize that we all have our own personal hells. I thought this was a great poem by Jenny, and I thank her very much for entering the contest. So well done, Jen.
Yeah, great comment there, Stelina. I have to agree. Jenny's come up with a rhyming alliteration fest here, weaving a tale of human sacrifice by an evil coven of witches. Hell's coven gathers round a burning flame in a seance announced is my name. A blood sacrifice is to be made as these cretins of hell choose me to be slayed. Looking up at me with a devilish crimson grin, trouble toils as boiling bubbles begin. A gruesome fate given from the forsaken as demonic witches slice and melt off my skin. The line, trouble toils as boiling bubbles begin, is a clever take on the witch's mantra, double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble, which is a rhyming couplet from Shakespeare's play Macbeth. It is well written with an imaginative take on Samhain and its thirst for sacrificial blood, somewhat reminiscent of The Wicker Man springs to mind. Great writing there, Jenny. And Pam, you gave this one a read for us. What did you think?
Well, I think Jenny definitely did not hold back when it came to darkness. She delved in like head first. The imagery in this is not only brilliant, it's visceral, and she brings us into all the horrifying and ugly sights and sounds of someone entering the domain of hell. And I really thought this had some great lines all the way through, but I especially like that second to last stanza with the line, a blood sacrifice is to be made, because it makes me think about the whole idea of how throughout history, through many cultures and religions, blood sacrifices have been an important part of those. So excellent, Dark Rite, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay, I think what I'm going to do next is I'm going to shake things up a little bit here, and I'm going to throw something into the mix, which was given to us by a dear friend, especially for tonight's show. And this one is by our friend Rob M. And I believe we have a SoundCloud for this one, Pam.
Yes, we do. Let me just get that. Here we go.
The
This is my recital of the Hell in I. If at all I could strive to feel some semblance of alive, what good would this epiphany do? My mind is gone and heart is too. I cannot even convince my brain to feel beyond numbness and pain. I'm past the point of truly caring about these things that need repairing. I'm but fading lore on a forgotten shelf, who cannot trust or love himself. A byproduct of the human condition, worn down by constant mental attrition. Expectations have been bled dry, giving me pause to even try. What can this fool hope to achieve? For only shadows are left to grieve. Memories swirled into dusky hazes, feelings in tandem, but only in phases. The idea of me is convoluted, as sorrow's reign is undisputed. Regrets choke like a proverbial noose, enforcing the tenets of mental abuse. Tempered anguish found its mark in a broken host who lost to the dark. The tempting caress of emptiness leaves the heart feeling less and less. Screams that crack through the copious black went unheard as they echo on back. The nothing grips, violently rips, inducing my internal apocalypse. Faithfully taking, leaving me aching. Despair consumes the mind it is breaking. I'm left on the brink where I cannot think. All I can do is writhe and sink. What's left of me is a mockery of all the things I cannot be. Within my chest reluctantly rest fragments of a failure at best. This ashen pile of bitter denial has proven that he is not worthwhile. So as I fade from this masquerade, owning every mistake that I made, know that I tried, but the hell inside was just too damn powerful to be denied.
Okay, wow, what a great SoundCloud there by Rob. And what did you think to that one, Pam?
Oh my goodness, yeah, that was absolutely, absolutely brilliant. It was always a treat to hear his voice. He has an amazing reading voice. His rhyme and meter is always spot on. And I like how this speaks on the idea of the emotional pain that one goes through, the brokenness that one feels inside. I really like screams that crack through the copious black, went unheard as the echo on back, the nothing grips violently rips, inducing my internal apocalypse. I thought internal apocalypse is such a brilliant phrase for the idea of those battles that you go through within when you're dealing with the torment of depression and doubt. So amazing dark write and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. And Stelina, what did you think to that?
Oh, well, I think most people on here know the high regard that I have for Rob and his poetry. I mean, he's an amazing writer and such a talent, you know, and very much missed on the site, of course. With this piece, he is not disappointed in the least, as he never does. Everything that Pam said is true, the rhyme, the meter, his fabulous read. I mean, Rob really knows how to read poetry. You know, it's not just his voice. He knows exactly how to read it, even if it's not his own. I mean, he read one of mine. He did a wonderful job. But that first stanza, really, it just pulls at your heartstrings. I mean, you know, the last three lines, my mind is gone and heart is too. I cannot even convince my brain to feel beyond numbness and pain. And then he carries on saying he's past the point of truly caring. It's such a dark, sorrowful piece, you know. And as always, he just hits it out of the ballpark, whatever he writes about. But his dark rites are just exquisite. And thank you so much, Rob, for, you know, sharing this wonderful piece with us. Truly lovely. I mean, I could go on all night about it. There are so many good things to say about it, but, you know, we don't have the time. I will be commenting and messaging Rob on this. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful comments there from both of you. And I absolutely 100% agree with everything that's been said. This poem by Rob is peppered with darkness, onto a ready-made meal of despair. The skillful rhyming is fabulous throughout. Depression and loss of self-worth make for a slippery descent into a hellish headspace of twisted reality, where only negativity can be seen, as all vestiges of positivity get swallowed by inner darkness. Expectations have been bled dry, giving me pause to even try. What can this fool hope to achieve? For only memories are left to grieve. Memories swirled into dusky hazes, feelings in tandem, but only in phases. He goes on to exclaim his utter surrender to hopelessness with, so as I fade from this masquerade, owning every mistake that I've made, know that I tried, the hell inside was just too damned powerful to be denied. This speaks of someone who is haunted by regret and unable to forgive themselves, let alone seek the forgiveness of others. The poetry itself is stunning in this excellent rite, and kudos to Rob for this. I think that this is a dark masterpiece, so very well done. Okay, so up next we are going to have something, as Monty Python would say, completely different. And here it goes. And it's called End of Summer by Peter Solway. And Stelina, how do you fancy giving this one a go?
Okay, that will be fine. Right, so End of Summer by Peter Solway. First chill of medieval village, tourists gone home, silent cobblestones, ice slippery, spells and curses first to close down. But widow proprietress out the back, doing her own evil witch thing, boiling brew of mushrooms, willing school shootings, cackling at outcomes, latest news report. Stephen King reporting live from medieval town, next witch victim grinning him, microphone short-circuiting. A rabid wolf let loose, dark stain of urine, down medieval issued jeans, bolt of lightning, codpiece to steam. Winter's queen, icicles hanging, dead man returning from execution, divine rejection to be buried under snow. Come spring, a stinking mess discovered by an observant tourist made me puke, quote, to that grinning reporter. A ghost of the media, festivals of virgins to begin, keen microphone man looking like Stephen King, super suntanned with climate change, almost a resident in medieval town where the clocks go backwards, cobblestone alleys get full. Spring of gawking tourists hanging for real, guillotine to gawk, lethal injections salivate. Sick creatures of the bent apocalypse, all going for a walk, cyanide ice cream dripping, fat pickpockets picking. The good Lord gone to some of the kingdoms, barbed wire heaven, now out of bounds, searchlights on, dogs no more man's best friend. Cats urinating on velvet lounge, chants that witch in medieval town. End poem.
Great reading there on that epic right there, Stelina. Okay, I think that Peter has a very unique style of expressing himself through clever use of metaphor and sardonic humour. This piece reads like a fusion of topical rants and mythical ravings, combining his muses into a melting pot of surreal mindscapes that tease the brain. I gotta say, these lines did make me laugh, though. A rabid wolf let loose, dark stain of urine, down medieval issued jeans, bolt of lightning, codpiece to steam. I thought that was great. The medieval refrain is repeated throughout between topical views on society's shortcomings, reeling it back into an oldie-worldy take on witches and their allegiance to darkness. Sick creatures of the bent apocalypse, all going for a walk, cyanide ice cream dripping, fat pickpockets picking. The good Lord gone to some other kingdoms, barbed wire heaven now out of bounds, searchlights on, dogs no more man's best friend, cats urinating on velvet lounge, chants that wit in medieval town. Delightfully disturbing with some powerful lines mixed in with dark humour. Well done and well written, Peter. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really liked this one. And yeah, I liked your observations that you made on it. It is filled with this great sardonic, dark humor. I really felt like part of what he was getting across, that at least to me, was how people take the ways of the past and change it basically into tourist attractions and money-making opportunity. I really like how at one point he separated the word in medieval into medi and evil, which, you know, medi meaning, you know, coming from the Latin word in the middle. I Googled that, by the way. I didn't have that memorized, but I was curious. And you think about the idea of, you know, people want things to be dark. They're attracted to darkness, but don't cross that line into evil. You have to give the tourists what makes them happy, and what they're willing to pay for. I really like how he brings the media into this and the idea of, you know, all this ugliness on display. I really like where he says, spring of gawking tourists, hanging for real, guillotine to gawk, lethal injections, salivate. It's always been fascinating, you know, how we have such an obsession with death, and throughout so much of history, you know, death has been a form of entertainment, public hangings, you know, all that kind of stuff. And how creative is cyanide ice cream dripping, fat pickpockets picking. You know, everyone's out to get themselves a piece of the pie and, you know, getting fattened up on all that, you know, these money-making schemes have to offer. So excellent take on the prompt, creative and very well done.
Wonderful comments there, Pam. Yeah, that was really deep. You nailed that. And Stelina, you read this one. What did you think of it?
Well, I think everything's been said that could be said about Peter's piece. pardon the pun. But anyway, I mean, yeah, I'm thinking of the cod piece, of course. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, Peter has such a way of writing that, you know, I always tell him, you know, I'm on the train. I don't know where I'm going, but it's a good journey. And, you know, I mean, his choice of words, his phrases, how he interweaves themes together, as Pam so rightly said, you know, all these comments about how things are today with, you know, tourism and, you know, the fat cats and not really caring about anybody but themselves, and tying it in with the sort of medieval stance here. I think he did a wonderful job. And, you know, whether you catch his train or not, you have to admit he's a very talented writer, and he's used some wonderful lines and imagery. I really liked, I've got to have a look, hang on, I saw it. Yeah, I think that was very imaginative, cyanide ice cream dripping. And this one really, super suntanned with climate change. Almost a resident in medieval town where clocks go backwards, cobblestone alleys get full. You know, he's touched on the sort of climate change issue that we're all sort of aware of, and that everybody is super suntanned because of the, you know, the rising heat from the sun. But I like that bit where he says the clocks go backwards. So it's as if he's saying, you know, this is progress, but are we really progressing? So, you know, I think there could be like probably 100 interpretations of Peter's piece. Maybe none of them are Peter's, but nevertheless, it's a wonderful poem, a wonderful write, and thank you, Peter, for entering. Well done.
Wonderful comment there, Stelina. Okay, so up next, we have an inspired piece for which we have a SoundCloud, Pam.
All right. And this is The Return by Stelina. And let me find that SoundCloud. Here we go.
I am bound evermore to my watery grave. Here to claim your sinful soul, which you cannot save. For I shall tear it from you and feast upon its fear, as my malevolent mien silently slithers near. You have a debt to pay, and to me you must deliver, for the ever-waiting Charon comes to ferry you across the river. That night I saw your eyes like flint as you plunged the dagger deep, and into the aromatic water my lusty life did seep. The air it turned lurid, in cloudy carmine haze, my life ebbing away slowly before your ghoulish gaze. I stared in disbelief at my beloved's face above me, your voice dripping with loathing. At last, I am free. Surreal tones of Marat, as the bloody water grew colder, twisting the knife within my heart, your words became bolder. Visions of you and him together, piercing deeper and the blade. Then, as you withdrew the steel, a vengeful farewell I bade. In my fading breath I whispered, if it takes me eternity, I vow with every fiber that of me you will never be free. In inky darkness I emerge from where I was slain, my bones cracking, wounds weeping, lungs rasping in pain. The foul feet of decay oozing from every pore. Hours stretch before you with pure evil in store. In the midst of night, it will be just you and I alone. I will devour you in depravity, flesh and marrow bone. When vengeance is finally mine, I will fade into oblivion as I sink into that caliginous chasm, so obsidian.
Ooh, I love that SoundCloud recital. So masterfully produced. I can fully appreciate the amount of time and effort it must have taken to put that together, Stelina.
Thank you. It was brilliant. I'm glad you liked it.
As for the poem itself, as usual, you showcase your wonderful grasp of the English language with poetic eloquence and sublime skill. It flows faultlessly from one rhyming stanza to the next, with nothing out of place or forced. I am bound evermore to my watery grave, here to claim your sinful soul, which you cannot save. For I shall tear it from you and feast upon its fear, as my malevolent mien silently slithers near. You have a debt to pay, and to me you must deliver, for the ever-waiting Charon comes to ferry you across the river. It speaks of a woman scorned, then murdered in cold blood, vowing vengeance to be wrought on the person who heartlessly slew her, causing her untimely death. Now, armed with supernatural spite, she will be avenged, causing his demise, before sinking back to hell in payment for her being permitted to vent her rage. Another triumph and an absolute peach of a poem. Great writing, Stelina.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh. A wave bomb's calling.
And who have we got at the door, Pam?
Well, I would like to welcome Matt29. Welcome, Matt, to the dark side. Glad you could join us.
It's good to be here.
Hi, Matt.
Greetings, Matt. So glad you could join us. I know you had a problem getting through, but perseverance paid off in the end.
You know what? Matt is such a nice guy. We had trouble dragging him over to the dark. That's the problem. But it's lovely to have you here.
Thank you. Matt, nice to be here.
It's great to have you.
Yep.
And Matt, did you get a chance to hear that SoundCloud by Stelina?
I did. It was amazing. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was just brilliant.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
Okay, thanks for that. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, what did I tell you, Stel, about posting pictures of me in the bathtub? of
me. You know something? Actually, that's a man in the bathtub. It's not a woman.
It isn't? Oh.
No, it's a man. I think you need to, you know, both of you need to, you know, have a second look at yourselves.
It's the long hair and the slender arms.
Yeah, it is a bit, That's what I thought.
The ride itself was absolutely wonderful. It was, I mean, your SoundCloud was a brilliant performance. This was dark. It was epic. I liked how it was this great dark and creepy ride on a watery death and the desire for revenge. I particularly liked an inky darkness. I emerged from where I was slain, my bones cracking, wounds weeping, lungs rasping in pain, the foul fetor of decay oozing from every pore, hours stretch before you, pure evil in store. Wonderful lines all the way through, and you can really, you really captured that voice of evil that is hell-bent on revenge. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, thank you for that wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay. So up next, we have The Perversion of Samhain by Sector Hunter. And for this piece, Pam, how do you feel about giving this one a read?
Oh, I would be happy to. Let us gather together to celebrate the changing of seasons. Bring forth all the offerings as the ritual fire is lit. As the priests come forth, each of you take your place in front of one with your calves and blades ready. Giving honor to the gods, ladies disrobe and fall to your knees, handing up your knives to each of them. Close your eyes as we chant to them, holding up your offerings, ready to give so we may receive their blessing. Chants growing fainter as time passes until only one voice remains. Eyes begin to open as a hand covers a terrified scream. A swift slash across the neck ends the night ceremony as she is laid in the grass, knife placed upon her chest. For this is the time of Samhain, and while others give animals for their gifts, we offer up the purest of us, unknowing virgins taking an oath. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. And also, you get bonus points for remembering to say Samhain. The Perversion of Samhain is an apt title for this dark rite from Robin Sector Hunter. Perversion refers to replacing the blood sacrifice of animals with a ritualistic human sacrifice to appease the dark gods. It is rife with visceral imagery that reels the reader into its nightmarish scenario, as if watching it play out before us in some murderous, malevolent mindscape. Whilst devilishly descriptive, it also touches on sensuality in places, with the women having to disrobe before the sacrifice can commence. Chants growing fainter as time passes, until only one voice remains. Eyes begin to open as a hand covers a terrified scream. A swift slash across the neck ends the night ceremony as she is laid in the grass, knife placed upon her chest. For this is the time of Samhain, and while others give animals for their gifts, we offer up the purest of us, unknowing virgins taking an oath. Imaginatively written, incorporating great use of imagery to burn its way into our psyche. A great dark piece from a gifted writer. Well done, Sector Hunter. And Matt, what did you think to this?
I thought it was really, really, like, it really took you there. The way that it talks about the offerings and the ending with the face being cut and just that whole thing of, like, seeing the people having no option but to be actually given in offerings. It was, like, really quite, like, surreal and just, like, quite terrifying, that like, no choice, and really came across as just so, like, great for Halloween, and that a bit like The Handmaid's Tale, where they've just got no way out.
Yeah, great comment there, Matt, and nice simile there with The Handmaid's Tale. I like where you're coming from there. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. Matt did make wonderful observations there, especially on the whole idea of, you know, not being given a choice as far as being offered up as a sacrifice. And there definitely was a wonderful darkness to this, on the whole idea of the sacrifices made in the changing of seasons. And I really thought the darkness especially came through when he says, "Chance growing fainter as time passes until only one voice remains. Eyes begin to open as a hand covers a terrified scream." Excellent dark right and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. What did you think, Stelina?
Oh, I thought this was great. I mean, Robin is a very, very good dark writer. Dark horror, dark erotica, whatever he writes is very, his imagery is wonderful. And I really like how, you know, at the beginning he sort of sets the scene for everyone, let us gather together and to celebrate the changing of seasons. So he touches on, you know, the reason for this ritual. And then he builds, you know, the sort of darkness. The priests come forth, your calves and blades ready. And he builds it until he gets to the ultimate sacrifice and the horrific, you know, killing of these virgins. A swift slash across the neck ends the night ceremony as she's laid in the grass, knife placed upon her chest. So, you know, really, he really built the poem well. He crafted it excellently. His lines are wonderful. His imagery is fantastic for the darkness. And I thought this was an outstanding piece by Robin. So well done, Robin, and thank you very much for entering. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great comment.
And it was
there,
a wonderful read, sorry. It was a wonderful read, too.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great
read.
Great comment all around there. Okay, so we're going to move on. We've still got quite a lot to try and get through this evening. And the next piece I'm going to put up is by a poem by a poet who I'm not familiar with. It's another new writer to our contests. And it's a poet named Brooklyn Lane, and the piece is called The Woods of Autumnia. And I shall give this one a read. The dark and cold and wet, once together, then we wept. Across the leaves and burning stones, the wisping girls danced their way home. For the leaves shade with their hearts, and bleeding eyes laid out souls apart. The woods are ours, they called a dare. Foolishly, we chased their prayer. The dark came first over, with the weight of a blanket, holding us down to our words, as it snapped open the casket. The cold blew like fury, chilled the ache in our bones. We dropped what we must carry, for no more, it said, we own. The wet showered like acid. We raced for the grim trees, but the branch could not catch it, since they swung from the breeze. The wisping girls cackled over in laughter, knowing the forest was theirs thereafter. We crawled away from charred rocks and rotted oaks, never to return to the woods they called home. End poem. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I did want to say to both you and Stelina that kudos on choosing such an excellent topic to start Halloween week. Very cool. It has inspired a lot of great writes. I really like how this one is a dark tale about witches, but it also makes me think about how throughout so much of mythology, there have been guardians of the woods, such as, you know, wood nymphs who protect the forest and the animals around us. But this one takes a nice dark twist to it. And Brooklyn Lane is a new name to me, too, so I'm glad I got an opportunity to read them. I hope they're inspired to write for more of our shows. I really like how she brings in the voices with "the woods are ours, they call the dare. Foolishly we chased their prayer. The dark came first over with the weight of a blanket, holding us down to our words as it snapped open the casket." You know, just brilliant dark writing and storytelling and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. And Stelina, what did you think? Stelina, you're mute.
Sorry, I reversed myself. Okay. one of my many talents, anyway. So before I continue about the poem, I have to say that the contest and everything associated with it was marvelously done by Arcana. It's his baby, really, and he did such a good job, as he always does. So kudos to you, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Stelina. Very kind of you.
No, it's true. Anyway, so on to the poem. Now, yes, Brooklyn Lane, I think he's a new writer on here. I'm in the greeters group now, so I see who comes in, and I think she's I remember that he or she's a new writer, and I hope, as Pam said, we get more from them. Lovely title, The Woods of Autumnia. I love the sound of it. It's a great write because not only does it touch on the sort of I've lost my mind now. Wait a second. It'll come. it's old age creeping upon me. You know, I am 5,000 years old like you, so that's the thing. I think she's touching on, you know, the traditional, let's say, ritual of Samhain. And also she's putting in all the, you know, the dark sides, but not just the dark side, you know. I mean, there are some lighter things in it. They may not seem light, but they are. For example, that stanza, you know, the wisping girls cackled over in laughter, knowing the forest was theirs thereafter. We crawled away from charred rocks and rotted oaks, never to return to the woods they call home. So it ended on sort of a lighter, witty little note. But yeah, I think she did a marvellous job. I love the beginning as well. The dark and cold and wet, once together when we wept, across the leaves and burning stones, the wisping girls danced their way home. Wonderful rhyming. Wonderful flow to the poem. A really great write, and I hope Brooklyn Lane will be inspired to enter more contests, so we hear more of her poetry. I'm assuming it's her. Apologies if you're not. So anyway, excellent read too, and loved it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, great comments there, Stelina. And Matt, what did you make this?
I really enjoyed the read. The read was really good. And it just has a really nice feel because it starts with this kind of thing of them going to the woods together and dancing their way home. And then it moves on to the woods are ours. They call it air, as if it turns quite... if it did, the word is like it turns quite malevolent. It's like this dancing becomes this thing which turns into something quite dark, and then it moves, holding us downward to our words as it snapped open the casket, unleashing things which blew like the fury, and then no more we come, and then the acid that comes, and then how they flee from the forest. The weeping girls cackled in laughter. It's got a lot in it. Starts off really quite innocent, and then it turns into something quite sinister, and then they don't ever return to their woods again. It's got a lot of movement in it. It's really, really kind of well written because there's a flow, and it just leaves the reader.
Yeah, great comment there, Matt. I like the way that you picked up on the way that the poem sort of progressed from a gentle start into a more sinister tale. So very well picked up on there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Brooke has penned us a pagan picture of enchanting imagery, describing the freedom from religious dogma in pursuit of worshipping nature and the beauty of the forest. It has an ethereal, magical feel to it that flows effortlessly through its well-rhymed lines. I'm not going to repeat them because, as usual, Stelina has read my mind with her witchy powers and stolen all the stanzas that I was going to read back to you all. So all that remains for me to say is it is a lovely composition that gives us a vivid description of pagans dancing through the woods in joyful abandon. As you've all said, it is absolutely wonderful to see so many new writers joining in and writing for us and feeling inspired by our contests. And here's another, and it's just great to see. So very well done, very well written, Brooklyn Lane. And Pam, what did you think?
I didn't I already comment on this one?
If you did, apologies.
Yes.
You did.
No problem.
My bad. There you go. Your comment was so good I had to hear it twice.
There you go.
He knows how to steer a compliment, that's for sure. Our Dark Lord, yes. Yeah, you always get out of it.
I'm keeping my lips tightly sealed.
Yeah, yes. Okay, whatever you say.
Okay, so up next we have a piece called Season of Samhain by Bill Schiller. And Matt, how do you fancy giving this one a read for us?
Yep, I'll give this one a read.
Thank you.
Okay, ready to go. Season of Samhain, a seasonal twitch in time, less serious than Berkowitz, mind fog. A farmer's season of Sam's dog. Samhain is an aftershock of costumed earthquake from decorative parade of ghouls, wolves and witches. The glum reapers, candid treat beyond. A sugary night of dorying, tricksters, shifting from manners. Of monsters, rotting teeth, onto the seasonal rituals, relative to botanical relief. Following in an All Hallows' eves, yearly reprise. Samhain is dressed down pagan day of Gaelic disguise, set aside from holiday hysterics. From October...
It appears that we've lost Matt, so somebody might want to pick up on the reading.
Oh, what a shame. Okay.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Do you want to pick up from where we lost you there, Matt?
Yeah. In Celtic succession between autumn season and winter, Samhain is the distinct desert after penchant for pumpkin bucket dinner.
Thank you, Matt. Great read there. And sorry, go on.
That was an extraordinary poem.
It certainly was. We'll come to your comment in a moment because you were kind enough to read it for us all. So the first person I'm going to ask to comment on this one is Spelina.
Okay, here goes. So first of all, let's just say hi to Bill. I know he's had a little bit of a hiatus at the moment, and love and best wishes go to him. Okay, and I thank him very much for entering the contest as well. So, Season of Samhain, a wonderful poem. Bill has a very nice way of writing. I enjoy his pieces very much, whatever he writes about, because he's a very versatile writer. He can write dark, he can write witty. You know, he's written for several of my contests and always very, very well. I also like this little touch that he's put in, this Berkowitz mind fog. You know, touching on the, was he the Zodiac killer, the Berkowitz? No. So, Summer of Sam, wasn't that him? The serial killer? Anybody know?
Yes, the son of Sam. Yes, the son of Sam.
Thanks,
was
Pam.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Berkowitz, wasn't it? I know Rex would know if he was here. But,
no, absolutely. You're 100% right there, Selena.
Yeah, I knew. I always get him and the Zodiac killer mixed up for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe the both Summer.
They are one of the same.
Oh, are they?
Son of Sam is the Zodiac killer. Sam was the dog.
Okay, well, hence a farmer's Season of Sam song's dog. yeah, and I mean, Samhain is aftershock of costumed earthquake from decorative parade of ghouls, wolves and witches. The Glum Reaper. The Glum Reaper's candied treat beyond. I mean, he really has a lot of great imagery, and the metaphorical language is wonderful throughout. And I like how he's touched on various things in history too. He's got so much in this, and a relatively short write, I mean, 16 lines, you know, and he has got so much and touches on so much that I think he did an absolutely marvellous job. I also love this line, Samhain is dressed down pagan day of Gaelic disguise, set aside from holiday hysterics. You know, he still manages to get a bit of a dark humour in there. So wonderful, right, Bill? Love, big hugs to you. Get well soon, get on the mend. And thank you so much for entering. Excellent.
Great comments, Delina.
Oh, and a great read, Matt, my friend. Thank you.
It certainly was. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really like this. By the way, I posted some Samhain humor for you there, Arcana. Samhain, a Gaelic word meaning summer's end. It is pronounced Samhain in Ireland, Samhain in Wales, Samhain in Scotland, and pumpkin spice in America.
trust the Americans to be different, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why we love you, Pab.
Well, this is brilliant. I really like his wordplay, like where he did say a farmer's season of Sam's dog. And his attention to detail and how he takes us through the history of Samhain and the history of Halloween itself, and how the two kind of became a separate and divergent entity and became their own thing. And I really like where he says the glum reapers candy tree beyond a sugary night of door-ringing tricksters shifting from manners of monsters rotting teeth. Not only speaking on all the creepy things that come out at night, but the health issues and the craziness of children as they're gathering their candy. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Bill has brought David Berkowitz, son of Sam, into this piece by drawing a parallel with devil worship and All Hallows Eve, when witches practice the dark arts, fanning the flames of imagination in a darkly disturbed mind. A seasonal twitch in time, less serious than Berkowitz's mind fog. A farmer's season of Sam, Sam's dog. Samhain is aftershock of costumed earthquake from decorative parade of ghouls, wolves and witches. The glum reapers, candied treat beyond. Bill plays with certain words like the glum reaper instead of grim reaper in his parody of Halloween, seeing it as a time for children to rot their teeth with sugary treats and people to put use to the innards of their carved jack-o'-lanterns making pumpkin pies. There is a serious undercurrent to this within the opening lines, though, speaking of how easily some people can be led by misguided beliefs, bringing Berkowitz back into it. So in a similar vein to Dharma and Manson, imaginatively written, Bill, and thoroughly enjoyable, a great piece. And Matt, you read this one. What did you think to it?
I just thought it was amazing how many different words and different references he'd got to Halloween in it. And also, it has a really lovely like rhyming sequence. The words, like, they're just quite incredible. I mean, Samhain is dressed down pagan day of Gaelic disguise, set aside from holiday hysterics. And then Samhain is the distinct dessert after penchant for pumpkin bucket dinner. It's just absolutely so atmospheric, but also it's very like just quite that whole thing of like darkness, and you can see these people round this coven, like just all putting ingredients in for Halloween, a sugary night of dawning tricksters. Just them casting and seeing this season of Samhain and just kind of, I don't know, really giving this whole feel of how it's just like, we're going to get this to happen. This is in our power and you're under this spell. And it just has a really, really like malevolent and like eerie feel to it, which just is so really well described and comes across beautifully.
Yeah, great comment there, Matt. Darkness and eeriness, there are middle names in this neck of the woods. So great comments there all round. And the next piece we're going to put up is Sold My Soul at the Crossroads, which is an ode to Robert Johnson by Northern Phoenix. And our resident music aficionado would be the ideal person to read this piece, I feel. Stelina, take it away.
Well, I wish I could sing it, but I don't know which tune that he's written it to, you know. Otherwise, I would sing it like, passing all the street lights, I want to the crossroads, but I can't. So I'm going to read it. Sold My Soul at the Crossroads, Ode to Robert Johnson by Northern Phoenix. Verse 1. Passing all the street lights, I wandered to the crossroads, where shadows danced to the devil and secrets were bestowed. He whispered, "What do you desire? Name your heart's true goal. For a price he'd grant my wishes if I'd sell my weary soul." He knew my deepest longings, the ache that kept me awake, promised love like forbidden fruit, a lust no mortal could fake. The list of clandestine rendezvous, passion's electric flame. I weighed my choices in the rain, tired of playing life's game. So I sold my soul, oh yes, I sold it without remorse, to the man in black who knew me best, charted my twisted course. His boots echoed sin's rhythm, roses dark as midnight bloom, and he said, "Now, my sweet sinner, that our wicked tale consume." He tore my soul from its cage, like a moth from its cocoon, said, "Here comes your salvation, under that moon's silver rune." His eyes held the abyss of night, and I surrendered willingly to our dance of wrong and right. Black roses adorned his lapel, petals soft as sin's caress. As we waltzed through shadows and raindrops, our souls in duress, he was my man of darkness, a symphony of forbidden chords, and I wondered if redemption waited, or if hell would be our reward. I sold my soul at the crossroads where fate and desire entwine, beneath Bruce Street's dim lamplight and Main Street's whispered sign. The rain baptized our pact, thunder applauded our sin, and I became his lost melody, a blues note on the devil's violin. End poem. Wow, what a great poem.
And what a great read to do its service.
Thank you. I wish I could have sung it, actually. I wanted to. It sent me a tune, but, you know. Oh.
He's fell at the door.
Yeah.
You rang.
No chances. It.
I would like to welcome Robert M. to the show. Welcome, Robert.
Hello.
Oh,
good evening, Robert.
It's wonderful to hear you.
Good evening, Robert. Yeah, I'm late or whatever, but I just decided to stop by to say hello.
Oh, I'm so happy you did, darling. Missed
We're
you
glad
so much.
You have. Absolutely. There's been a gaping hole in the darkness ever since you've disappeared.
Oh, for
so
sure.
I'm glad that you've come here to fill it in for us, Rob.
Well, welcome, Rob. Much appreciated. I hope everybody's having a good night. From what I've heard, everything seems to be going pretty awesome.
Yeah. Some great poems. And yours was marvelous. Lovely. Thank you.
Absolutely. I don't know. Did you get a chance to actually hear that piece that Stelina just read there, Rob?
No, I didn't. I came in at the end.
No problem. Okay. In that case, would you like to comment on this piece that Stelina's just read for us?
Well, firstly, thank you, Stelina, for an amazing read. That was really well read. It's just a delightful, dark read. You've got, like, as it passing the streetlights, I wandered to the crossroads where shadows danced the devils and secrets were bestowed. That just opens it up really nicely. And just gives this feeling of, like, you're walking along and then there's these devils. And then I knew my deepest longing, the ache that kept me awake. Promised love, like forbidden fruit, alas, no mortal could fake. It's just so great because the way that they're walking along, then the deepest longing comes. Then there's that clandestine rendezvous with somebody, the passion igniting. And then his soul in the rendezvous to the man in black who knew me best. And now that's her gone.
Are you there, Matt? You seem to have vanished from us again.
I'm here. He's, so here comes your salvation. Tore the soul from its cage and surrendered to the willingness of the dance, the wrong and right. It's just got a really lovely thread all the way through about this person walking, then having this tryst with someone else, giving their soul to the darkness, to the cage, and just this wonderful rite and descriptiveness of just beautiful. I mean, it's a really well-written poem, and I really enjoy hearing it read, and I'm just in awe of the writer.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Matt. Great comment there. Just as a bit of background for everyone, Robert Leroy Johnson, born 1911 in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, died August the 16th, 1938, near Greenwood, Mississippi. He was an American blues composer, guitarist, and singer, whose eerie falsetto singing voice and masterful rhythmic slide guitar influenced both his contemporaries and many later blues and rock musicians. Northern Phoenix has penned an ode to him in a Faustian tale where Robert Johnson willingly sells his soul to the devil to end up damned as a blues note played on the devil's violin. Black roses adorned his lapel, petals soft as sin's caress. As we waltz through shadows and raindrops, our souls in duress. He was my man of darkness, a symphony of forbidden chords, and I wondered if redemption awaited, or if hell would be our reward. It has been written as a song that sings from the page with its wonderful rhymes in this inspired rite with a dark twist. A wonderful tribute to a talented musician who blazed a blues flame trail that was ahead of its time. Great writing, Northern Phoenix. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is absolutely brilliant. It has a wonderful lyrical quality and is an excellent rite paying tribute to the life and stories of Robert Johnson, who was, I believe, the first member of the infamous 27 Club, a truly talented musician and someone whose life became this interweaving of mythology and a sad reality of a life too shortly ended. So wonderful rite and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Stelina, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, well, I think this is an excellent piece by Northern Phoenix. As I said, I wanted to sing it. I think it's a piece that really deserves an audio and some really fantastic music with it. And, you know, if Northern Phoenix wants to message me, they need help with making one, or they want anything, they can just do so. Yeah, I loved it right from the start. It's got a marvellous lyrical quality, obviously. The rhyme and the flow of it is wonderful. I love the turn of phrase. I love this pre-chorus. He knew my deepest longings, the ache that kept me awake. Promised love like forbidden fruit, a lust no mortal could fake. You know, it's so dark. It's erotic in places. It's got everything really that a dark poem should have. And I love this idea that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil to gain skills as a musician. And I love how they've put that in. I also, it made me think, I don't know why, probably shouldn't have, to the man in black who knew me best. I got Johnny Cash in my mind then.
But, yeah.
You know, the man in black.
Yeah.
I don't know if Robert Johnson was also called the man in black. I don't know. But it gave me the Johnny Cash vibe. And of course, Johnny Cash did also pen some dark songs, some great songs too. So I think all in all, they really did a wonderful job with this. I mean, I don't know what more to say, really. I think everybody's covered everything. You know, there are so many great lines, it's hard to pick them all out, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd be here till next show. So wonderful, Northern Phoenix. Excellent.
I think you've done it justice with that comment there, Stelina. Oh. And it was a great read to boot as well. So.
Oh, thank you, dear.
You're welcome. So next up, seeing as how we have been graced, I'm going to put up another piece by our resident Shadows from the Solace, our very own Rob. And here we go. Pam, would you like to take that one away for us with the SoundCloud, please?
Oh, absolutely. I would be happy to. Let me just go ahead and track it down. And there we go.
This is my recital of The Bringer of Woe, version 3, a poem inspired by William Wordsworth. I entered upon blackened cloud from which the rain of sorrow spills. Thunder rumbled deep and loud, lightning flashed upon the hills. Slowly, steadily, I began to seize the life that pulses within the trees. The stars, stripped of their shine, so wishes have lost their way. This wicked maelstrom of my design will devour the world in dismay. Hope, it will never have the chance, as woes aspire and fears enhance. Tides crashed in chaotic display, as if sea had warred with sea. Teeming oceans fell to decay, crumbling at the sight of me. In my pestilent gaze all turns to rot, fed into the void that time forgot. All glints of light fade and die, the living soon become food. Everything shall return to the sky as victims of the tireless brood. Amidst the corpses and broken wills, I'll be cavilling to life's final shrills.
Okay, wow. What a wonderful audio recital there by Rob. And Stelina, what did you think?
Okay. First of all, to have another piece by Robert on here is wonderful because, as I said before, everybody knows how I feel about Robert's writing. For me, he is really such a great talent. I love the way he's taken The Daffodils by William Wordsworth, one of my very favourite poems, I have to say. I learnt it, by heart as a child, and I've loved it ever since. But I love how he's taken that and he's inverted it. And instead of I wandered lonely as a cloud, I entered upon blackened cloud from which the rain of sorrow spills. I mean, the piece by Wordsworth has a very light, hopeful sort of theme. You know, he's relaxed, he's wandering around, the daffodils cheer him. Robert's gone sort of in the opposite way and has created this really dark and desperate sort of tone. I mean, tides crashed in chaotic display, as if sea had warred with sea, teeming oceans fell to decay, crumbling at the sight of me. You know, there's this sort of hopelessness throughout the whole poem. And, we know Rob to be an excellent art writer. So, you know, whatever he pens is going to be top of the tree, you know. But as I said last time as well, Robert really knows how to read. It's not just his voice is wonderful, but he knows how to read poetry, and the intonation, the pausing. He really does a good job, and I absolutely love this poem. I really do. So, you know, excellent piece as always, Robert. Nothing else to say, really. Great rhyme, great flow. Not, you haven't put a foot wrong, love, here. Excellent, well done. Thank you for sending it to us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great comment there, Stelina. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Robert, it's really nice to have you join us on the show. Good to hear your voice. The way you matched the rhyming of the original classic poem, but used your own word choices and voice that is true to yourself, I thought was absolutely brilliant. This is an amazing dark write. And I was reading my original comment and chuckling to myself because apparently I was very enthusiastic and I really wanted toaster waffles because I said, hot damn, I'm so glad I went back and listened to this. An amazing read and write. The darkness is even more delicious than the toaster waffles that caused me to miss the reading on the show. And I have to tell you, Robert, this time I did not walk away to go make toaster waffles. Although that's mainly because I don't have toaster waffles, but you know.
Now you know you're gonna have them after Pam. You know you are.
I have to pick some up. Now I'm hungry for toaster waffles. But the write itself, Robert, absolutely loved it. All the way through, but especially that second to last stanza with the lines, tides crashed in chaotic display as if sea had warred with sea, teeming oceans fell to decay. You can just see the destruction of the world within those lines. So very well done.
Yeah, he's Poet Laureate of AP for me.
There you go, Rob. Your poetry can fill the gap that toaster waffles can't reach. What an accolade there.
Right. I got to put that up with my stormy clouds.
And Matt, what did you think to that?
Well, first of all, it was a really great read from Rob. And secondly, I've never, ever come across Rob before. And to actually have altered a William Wordsworth poem into his own is absolutely amazing. I am in awe of him. The way that he has written this is just, as Stelina says, it's that thing of hopelessness. How just he put it across. The way that stars stripped of their shine, and as woes aspire and fears enhance. All the way through, it's really takes you on a journey of how you just feel that nothing is going right. In my pestilent gaze, all turns to rot. Amidst the corpses and broken wheels, I'll be kibbling to life's final strills. It's an amazing rhyme. And I just need to read more poetry now, because I think he's an amazing poet.
Yeah, I really suggest you do go across and read his poetry, Matt. You won't be disappointed, I'll tell you, dear.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rob, you've taught me a new word, by the way.
Oh.
Kvelling. You really hit the jackpot. You know, there are not many words, I'll be honest, that I've never come across, but that is one.
Yeah, so, I've used it once or twice.
Yeah.
I think I've used it in another poem. But
yeah,
what
does it mean, actually?
It kind of, I think it means, if I remember correctly, kind of celebrating, being jovial.
I see.
Almost something like that. I can't remember.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much. I love learning new words.
Yeah, you can check it out.
I have to admit, Rob, that your poetry is a guilty pleasure of mine. You're a wonderful poet with a great skill for expressive writing and rhyming that few can equal, in my honest opinion. Each line and each stanza flow so effortlessly, painting dark portraits of eloquent beauty. You also have the perfect voice for reciting your poetry that resonates with the darkness that your poetry portrays. I'm not going to repeat the lines that have already been repeated, I will say, as the others have said, it's an absolutely incredible feat to have taken that Words with Peace and turned it around on its head and done what you've done with it. Tides crashed in chaotic display, as if sea had warred with sea. Teeming oceans fell to decay, crumbling at the sight of me. In my pestilent gaze, all turns to rot, fed into the void that time forgot. What wonderful lines right there. Just simple language that speaks from the soul with its powerful message. Sublime writing, Robert, and thank you for sharing it with us for our show, and more so for actually joining us and being here with us tonight. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh my God, yes.
I like the company. I just can't bring myself to be here all the time. You guys are great, but I usually draw inspiration from other people like that. And I do what's called, I call it a coined the phrase mirror musing. And I just take a poem and I try to do my best to write its opposite. So that's kind of like what inspires me sometimes. But thank you, everybody, for your kind comments.
You're most welcome. Okay, so up next, I'm going to put a piece up that has another SoundCloud to it. And if you could be kind enough to play that one for us, please, Pam.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right, let's see here. Here we go.
I should never have mocked the superstitions and old laws. So certain was I that it was all just mumbo jumbo and tall tales, stories to entertain each other around a campfire late into the night, or to ensure children behave themselves, knowing they're being watched. Nothing escapes from the all-seeing eye and its omnipresent scrutiny. I can always feel it burning into the back of my skull, searing through my brain like a scorching hot dagger. Everywhere I go, I see its disembodied gaze looking back at me, piercing my thoughts as it grips me in its menacing stare. I can't escape it. Even when I close my eyes, it's still there. It's too late for me now, as this thought form haunts my mind, willing me to finally put an end to my miserable, accursed existence. Its unrelenting will silently speaks repetitively, do it, end it. Even sleep offers me no refuge as it seeps into my dreams, bidding me to submit to its fatal fortitude of cast iron sway. It floats before me with its unwavering malevolent presence. If only I'd listened and taken heed while I still had the chance. But now I am damned, condemned to a demonic date with diabolical destiny. Only death may bring comfort from these entwining tendrils of evil, in the hope that the emptiness of the grave will drown my sorrowful plight. I look down at the growing crimson pool beneath me and feel
stings of pain. A numbness starts to envelop me, as an ashen pallor paints my wan flesh. My life drains away to the ebbing melody of my heart's rhythmic pulse. The knife falls to the ground, dripping with crimson tears of torment. As darkness descends, I still see it, watching, drifting through the pitch. What have I done? Dear God, forgive me and release me from this hell. I foolishly sought sanctuary in oblivion, but I see now there is no escape. I watch, powerless, too weak to even close my eyes, fixated on this unyielding vigil, as I feel the last drops of my essence slowly drain away. The eye begins to morph, becoming a somber skull, echoing the lifeless gaze of death's irrevocable glare.
What did you think, Sabina? What did you think? Have you gone on to mute, Stelina?
Yeah, I keep going on and off. I don't know why. Right, I should be going when I should be coming, and vice versa. Anyway, right. So the first thing I want to say is about the SoundCloud. I mean, it's just fabulous, and as I've said on the board, you know, treading the boards again. I mean, it's like it's a true performance. You know, something sort of that you would see on stage, a monologue, you know, performed by an actor, and so well done, and the expression and intonation, excellent. So that's the SoundCloud. Now, when we come to the poem, well, it's everything a dark piece should be. I mean, there's the somber, macabre essence flowing throughout it, right from beginning to end. There's the feeling of desperate, like of despair, and you know, of giving up everything and just relenting to this dark essence, this dark presence. So, you know, right from the beginning, we get that feeling, due to the imagery, the fantastic imagery, and of course the use of words, and as always, I mean, you know, your sort of art, and you have the skill, like Robert does, you know. You're different types of poets in a way, even though you write dark, but you know, you never disappoint us. And you know, you start off with "I should never have mocked the superstitions and old laws, so certain was I that it was all mumbo jumbo and tall tales." So, you know, like all of us, we say, "Ah, yes, well, you know, it's just an old wives' tale and all this." And you start off with that kind of voice, but as the poem progresses, we can feel, you know, this sort of hovering doom, this gloom over you. And I just think it's an absolutely marvellous piece. You didn't write this for a contest, did you? Did you write it for this?
Half and half, to be fair. But
I can't,
you know,
see it can't be in one. Because, well, you know, it's a gold. It's got gold written all over it.
Oh, thank you, Stelina. Yeah, I
definitely
appreciate that.
I think it's one of the best ones you've written in a long time. That's
oh,
true.
Thank you.
I love it, and I shall be commenting.
Okay.
I shall catch up and comment. But yes, from the SoundCloud to the writing, the imagery, the usage of words, just, you know, off the wall, love. Well done. Excellent.
Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
This is an amazing dark write, and as always, a great read. I mean, like Selena was saying, your SoundCloud performances are just always spot on. I like how this has the essence, the vibe of a Edgar Allan Poe short story, who often wrote on the topic of madness in a first-person narrative. And I like how this speaks on the idea of a point of someone who's become so obsessed with death that their own mind is being pulled into the depths of madness. I especially like the line, it floats before me with its unwavering malevolent presence. If only I'd listened and taken heed while I still had the chance. But now I am damned, condemned to a demonic date with diabolical destiny. Amazing dark lines and very well done.
Yeah, can I just say, because you reminded me, Pam, of something I wanted to say and I didn't. The Poe-esque tone in it. Yeah, that's exactly what I got too. And I love the title as well. Death's irrevocable. Irrevocable. And I haven't been drinking, sorry. So there we go for a change. Anyway, so, yeah, the Poe-esque thing. I agree with you, Pam, on that, definitely.
Thank you.
So sorry for butting in, but I had forgotten to say that.
Okay. What were your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I was thinking that it was kind of like it reminded me of a combination of like Clive Barker, Stephen King, and Poe at the same time. You know, like hints of the Hellraiser type of terror that he's feeling. And then also it reminded me of the olden, like the theater days, you know, when they would perform stuff like, what is that one where Foul Soul, the soul and all that stuff, like all those olden type things. I was kind of picturing it in that sense, like in that format, and because it really brings you and takes you to another place. And of course your reading is always very, like you read very well, and you you know how to your performance really pushes it over the edge. And like you and Stelina are two of the most recent poets that I came across on the site that I really came to respect your skill in many avenues. And the way that you portrayed this darkness and horror in your own way and still managed to capture some nuances is very commendable. And I picked the same line that Pam, mainly because of the alliteration a lot, but I also like the word choices. It floats before me with this unwavering, malevolent presence. If only I'd listened and taken heed while I still had the chance. But now I am damned, condemned to a demonic date with diabolical destiny. You know, that part really captured me, because I don't know, I guess I'm a sucker for alliteration, and it really got me there. But the entire thing was great, obviously, because, you know, you wrote it, so, and you performed it. So what else could it be? thanks for sharing that with us, Arcana.
Oh, thank you for that, Rob. I really appreciate that. And it means a lot coming from you, especially. And Matt, what did you think? Are you there, Matt?
I think we lost Matt.
Yeah, I'm back again.
Oh, here he is.
did you hear that, Matt?
Yeah, I did. I heard your poem and I heard Rob's comment, and the SoundCloud was just really, really well read and done. You performed it so beautifully. I felt as though I was listening to you on stage. It was amazing. And then what I really liked was the line, nothing escapes from the all-seeing eye and its omnipresent scrutiny, how you're being watched. You're ignoring the superstitions and old laws, and now you're being watched and you can feel it burning into you, and that feeling of like something watching you, and that it's just, I really like the way that you've touched upon that, and you've just then led the whole poem through it. Even sleep offers me no refuge as it seeps into my dreams, that forbidding eye following you. But now I am damned, condemned to a demonic date with diabolical destiny. And then my life drains away to the ebbing melody of my heart's rhythmic pulse. As darkness descends, the sea of watching drifting through the pitch. It's not a great sense in it of like being watched and never being left alone. And then as I feel the last drops of my essence slowly drain away, the eye begins to morph. It's very similar to that, the poem of the crow, where the crow is that in that presence, and it then ends with the crow taking the life away. And it's just, you've written it, as Selena says, it is a Goldberg poem because it's got so much imagery. It's just, you should be really pleased with it.
Oh, thank you for that, Matt. That's really kind of you. I appreciate that. Okay, we're running low on time, people. So I think what we're going to do is we might just about squeeze in a brevity at the end here. And EJ Cool was kind enough to give us a piece to put on tonight's show, which we might just about squeeze in. So I'm just putting that up now. And there it is. And so, Rob, how do you fancy giving that one a read for us?
I'll give it a shot. All right. Futility by E.J. Cool. In the bristling nettles of autumn fields, buried beneath the crawling evening mist, decomposing and forgotten yields, coagulate into a rotten fist. Among the maggots and scavengers, the bismuth ruins of us decay. Our particles become mere passengers at the mercy of entropic sway. Senescent haze clots the skies, caging the waning moon in Titian filigree. Lunar languor ossifies, condensing the temporal well of gravity. End poem.
Great read there, Rob. That was a bit of a tongue twister, that one. You really did well with that. Okay, so we're going to need to keep these comments short, Pete, because we're into the last 2 minutes. Stelina, quickly, what did you think?
Excellent read by Rob. Wonderful lines and imagery. Lovely little dark brevity. Thank you for sending it to us.
Thank you, Stelina. And Pam?
Brilliant imagery and metaphors, an excellent dark write on death and the passing of time. And I especially like that middle stanza with the line, the bismuth ruins of us decay. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, great comment. I mean, to me, this speaks of the finality of death as being a state of rotting beneath the soil, where beliefs and aspirations are futile, as all there is oblivion. It does overlook that regardless of whether death is the final frontier that no one can conquer to exist beyond, a part of us will always live on in those we leave behind, regardless. Great choice of words and use of poetic language throughout. Very well penned, EJ Cool. Matt, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the metaphor that's there, the imagery, and all of the different aspects of it. I mean, among the maggots and scavengers, and such a haze clots the skies, it just has a real feeling of, like, just darkness. And it's really, really, and it's really succinct, lovely little brevity. So I really enjoyed it.
Great comment there. And finally, you read it for us, Rob. What did you think?
Well, I'm always a sucker for the senses when they're used in poetry, and I think she did a great job in incorporating all of them within this dark, deathly
peace. Great comment. And on that note, we're in the dying seconds, so I want to wish everybody a wonderful week ahead, and I hope you all have a great Samhain. And thank you for joining us tonight on the show, Matt and Rob, and for being with me, Stelina and Pam. Good evening, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye, bye, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Bye, everybody.